with few pieces of fish and bread, there were 5,000 of people were fed by Jesus Christ. Now what happened is, great multitude of people followed him. Right? Now, if you see in verse 24, people were seeking Jesus. When the people therefore saw Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, also got into the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Let me understand. Let me explain. Was they really seeking Jesus for spiritual things or for the bread?
The bread.
And Jesus answered in verse 26, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." They want food. So, let me explain. If you preach the holiness of God in your church, or advertise, "Paul of Toledo, this Sunday sermon, I'm going to preach the holiness of God." You think all the people will come and flock to this church to hear the holiness of God?
No.
But if you advertise in Toledo, "If you come to my church, I'm going to give you a lot of food. There's a buffet you can eat and eat and eat and eat. It's all free food. There'll be gifts for you, you know, and there'll be 50 pesos for each person." Will people come? Yeah. They're not coming to hear God. They're coming for the food. So, the question is, you know, people will flock to hear the word of God, and just that's exactly what happened in John chapter 6. Now, see, then these people came, and Jesus said in verse 42 and verse 44, we saw this before, "No one can come to me unless the Father has drawn him. And this the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise up the last day." Verse 65 says, "Therefore I have said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." John 6:6:6 is a very important scripture. 6:6:6. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' And of course Simon Peter said, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We can lose everything, but whom shall we go? You alone have eternal life." So God alone has eternal life. And so, very carefully, when we see that, we know that election is of grace alone. Now, it's very clear that we are chosen before the foundation of the world, but we did not know God. We were born like any other sinner. We were all under the wrath of God. But when we heard the gospel, the elect, they will respond to the gospel. Their eyes will be opened, and we are called a peculiar people, chosen in Christ Jesus, and He chose us out of the world. And John 15 verse 19 said, "I chose you out of the world." John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me." 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "God from the beginning chose you for salvation." 1 John 4:19 says, "We love you because He loved us first." Now, here comes the other question. Did Jesus die for the sheep or for the goats? Did Jesus die for the sheep or for the goats?
Goats?
Sheep. Goats. Now, let's again, we have a problem here. Let's settle it through the Word of God. Matthew 25 verse 33. Okay, starting from verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Did He die for the sheep or for the goats?
Sheep.
Okay. I praise God. I'm not talking my opinion. It's a scripture. Then it says, verse 33, and He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And here, Jesus, He died for the sheep. Also, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to verse 27 says, He loved the church. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. And that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle. So, also John chapter 17, verse 6. John 17, verse 6 says, I have manifested Your name to men whom You have given Me out of the world. They were Yours. You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. And verse 9 says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but those who have given Me, they are Yours. Verse 20. Says, I do not pray for these alone, but also pray for those who will believe Me through their word, meaning for us. Jesus prayed for us. So, His people are called the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. The church is called the seed of Abraham. Isaiah 65:9 is called the elect of God. And Romans 9:25 is called My people. Titus 2:14, we are called a peculiar people. John says, My sheep. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know My sheep and I know of Mine. John 10:26 says, but you believe not because you are not of My sheep. As I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, they will follow Me. So, we are called the body of Christ, it's the church. We are called the Lamb's wife. So Christ came and died for the church. Meaning, of course we were not saved before, we were unbelievers, but the death is effectual only for the church. If it was effectual, if the Christ's death was effectual to all the people, they should be saved. Then Christ, He failed His mission if they are not saved. So there is no unfairness here. Now, people get really upset when you talk on election. What is one of the first sermons that Jesus preached? It's on election. When Jesus preached on election, people tried to kill Him. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to show you. Luke chapter 4. Verse 18. Luke chapter 4 verse 18, and it says here, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and he gave it to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." So all bore witnesses to him and marveled at the gracious word which he proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in your country.' Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Now, Jesus goes on to preach on election. See, Jesus says, "But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. But when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." Meaning, Jesus is saying, during the time of Elijah, there was a drought, right? And there were a lot of widows there. But God did not send Elijah to all the widows, but to one widow. That is election. If he wanted to, he could have done to all. He didn't. Why? I don't know. God is sovereign. Then, in verse 27, Jesus went on to say, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." Jesus is saying there are a lot of lepers in Israel, but none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Then see the result when Jesus talked on election. Verse 28. "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with" what? "Wrath." You talk on election, people get upset. They get mad. "And rose up and thrust him out of the city. They led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, and they might throw him down the hill." They started almost trying to kill him. You know what? But it's there, the Bible. Paul said, "I have given to the Ephesian elders the whole counsel of God." We cannot give everybody pizza, pizza, pizza every day. I like pizza, you like pizza. But we have to give the vegetables. So, let me ask you a question. This, just think about it. If not for election, where will you be today? If not for election, where will you be today? If God did not elect you, where will you be today? If not for election, where will you be today? So why are you so upset about election? Rejoice in the election that you are saved. What do you deserve? The wrath of God. We all deserve the wrath of God. So, it is amazing that Jesus preached on election. He killed an Egyptian. He was a murderer. Yet, God elected him. That's not fair. What about Paul? What about Paul at the trial? Just imagine, who is a better person? Is it Pilate or Paul? Well, let me explain. Pilate said at the trial of Jesus, he said, "I cannot find any fault of Jesus. And what shall I do with him?" And people said, "Crucify him." What evil has he done? They say, crucify him. I can't find any fault with him. But Paul, on the other hand, well, he was hunting after the Christian, killing them, and persecuting them. Who is the good man in your eyes? Is it Paul or Pilate?
Pilate. Why did God select Paul, not Pilate? I don't understand. God is sovereign. That's only the answer I can give.
God is sovereign. Paul killed Stephen. And we saw how God elected Jacob for Esau. So, you know what? Some people say, well, God elected me so I can live the rest of the life the way I want to. That is wrong. If you believe that, you are not elected. Because Ephesians 1:4 says, the result of election is that we will change into God's holiness. Jesus said, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. The result of election is that you will bear fruit for his kingdom. Now what about the responsibility of man? What about the responsibility of man? Are we not responsible just because God elected us? Now, aren't we not going to be responsible? You know, the responsibility of man, we are responsible for everything. At the same time, God talks about the responsibility of man. Also, he talks about election. There are two lines that come, both come from heaven. It looks like they contradict each other, but they don't. Somewhere in heaven, they will meet again. We don't understand. Both lines come from heaven. Both will meet in heaven. We need to understand that we are responsible for all our actions, everything what we do. We are responsible to preach the gospel. At the same time, the Bible talks on election. I know when the Bible talks on election, when a person gets saved, I heard a person who did not believe in election, when he read the election, he said, oh my goodness, I praise God that God saved me. And God elected me before the foundation of the world. What a wonder is that? And he praised God. Now, what about evangelism? Is election a hindrance to evangelism? One of the greatest preachers who ever believed in election and preached on evangelism is none other than Charles Spurgeon. George Whitfield was the greatest evangelist who ever lived. He believed in election. Now there are many who believe they don't want to preach on election because it's a hindrance for evangelism. It was Apostle Paul who exposed this doctrine. Jesus taught on election. Evangelism, election is not a hindrance for evangelism, but a great motivation for evangelism. Because Paul said, 2 Timothy 2:20, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that also may obtain salvation which is in Christ. He will endure everything for the sake of the elect, but he don't know who is the elect, but he will do for the sake of the elect. Read Acts chapter 18, verse 9 to 12. Acts 18. Acts 18, 9 to 12. And it says here, now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Talking about Corinthians. That means God told Paul, you may look, there are a lot of people who are wicked. Don't get discouraged, but I have many people in this city. Go and preach the gospel to them. They are going to get saved. So election is a motivation for evangelism. Read 1 Thessalonians, read Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Acts 13. Acts 13, 48. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, when they heard the gospel, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Some of your Bible says, as many as have been ordained to eternal life believed. So, we need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so all the elect of God would come to know Him. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation 5, 9. Created all things for your will, they were created, and see chapter 5 verse 9. And they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us, God, by your blood out of every tribe, tongue and people and nation. God saved the desire people. People from Bohol, people from Bakolo, people from Dupagete, all different tongues, people from America, people from Russia, people from China. Those are God's elect. He saved. Now, how do you know that you are elect? If you are a believer, simple as that. What's the big problem? Tell people, if they really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they are in it. There's no big problem. Simple as that. Now, I just want to finish up today's seminar on biblical evangelism.